All right, please open up your Bibles today with me to the book of Genesis, and we're heading over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Now, today, as we continue to go through the basics of Christianity, we are going to be talking about choices. Now, everyone has the opportunity to make choices, and sometimes you will make good choices, and sometimes you will make bad choices. It is up to you what choice that you want to make. Now, last week, we looked at a portion of our study in Genesis through the lens of faith and trust in the Lord by walking through Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you've not taken the opportunity to listen to that message, please do so. It is very important for you to glean those truths as we walk through this series. Now let's begin looking at just a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, which says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And James chapter 4 verse 17, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Let's consider these one more time. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And James chapter 4, verse 17, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Now again, remember this. There are good choices in life and bad choices. And how we approach these choices makes all of the difference. With the complete Bible that we have today, we are able to see so many examples of people who made both good and bad choices, and we get to see the consequences of their choices. Now, some trusted in God while others trusted in themselves. We have these same choices today. And if you think about it, we make choices every single day, from what pair of socks we're going to put on in the morning, to what we're going to have for breakfast, to whether or not we're going to go to work, what we're going to do during work. How profitable are we going to be? Are we going to work hard? Are we going to slack off? What are we going to do at night when we get home from work? Even what are we going to think about during the day? We have so many choices that we all face every day. We need to be cautious with what we do with these choices. All right, look with me at verse 18. "Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated." Now Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now at this point, none of his sons are younger. They are all married, but they don't start having children until after the flood. Now you notice that Ham is listed as the father of Canaan. Now, this is both a place and a people group, and it started with Ham. Canaan is the land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants. It is the promised land for Abraham's descendants. Now, does anybody know what people group come from the line of Abraham? Yes, that's right, the Jews. The Jews today, think about that. This is a very prominent group that here starts at the very beginning of the Bible. Now, the promised land today encompasses Israel, modern Lebanon, and portions of southern Syria. It is a major place that is discussed throughout the Bible. It is even discussed today in politics, not just in America, but throughout the world. Now, the people from Canaan, the Canaanites, start here with Ham and worship God with the family. However, in time, they become a very distant and wicked people group who serve all kinds of false gods. Now, I want to get into this a little bit deeper because this is really important for us to understand as we get to know the Bible better. But we're going to get into this a little bit more next week. Now, remember, God wiped out the world due to what? Yes, sin. God only saved 8 people. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. Now God calls on them back in verse 7 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is the family that will repopulate the earth. Now, the sin has been wiped away with the flood. Everything is clean, it's clear, it's ready to begin again. However, just because everyone who did not trust God perished does not mean that sin no longer exists. Noah and his family are still living in sin-cursed bodies with a sin nature able to sin. They will have to make the choice whether or not to abandon the sin practices that they knew and saw before the flood in order to live their lives holy and acceptable unto God. Now, back in the early 2000s in Michigan, housing prices dropped in many of the cities that surrounded Detroit. Now, when this happened, many Detroit residents who no longer wanted their families to live in a crime and drug-infested area, what they did is they took the opportunity to move their families to these outer areas. Now, at first, there didn't seem to be any problems. In fact, we even had new neighbors. They were nice people, and we did our best to welcome them to the neighborhood and to witness to them for Jesus. But it wasn't long until our city started to have a rise in crime. Not just our city, but many of these outlying cities that surrounded Detroit. Now, the opportunity to escape the sin was there. But what happened in the end is that those moving out of the sin, out of Detroit, just brought it along with them. All of the bad habits that were created in the poor environment followed along, and instead of them making new choices and good choices, many of those that left Detroit fell back into their old habits and continued to just doing things the way that they've always done, even thinking in the same way. Now, I expect that there was some difficulty on the part of Noah and his family in a similar way. They are given a new earth to repopulate. But in this, they need to work hard to subdue the temptation to sin so that they can teach the newer generation what it means to follow God instead of falling back on their sin all over again. Now, staying away from the temptation to sin is a struggle for all of us. It never gets easier, but you can become stronger and more adept at fighting against it. Now, look with me at verse 20. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Now, as a side note, we don't know what profession Noah was before the building of the ark, but he has been a boat builder for the last 75 years. Now, he would have needed to be a farmer in some way, at least have that understanding before building the ark, because he would need to do farming today. He couldn't go down to the local market and buy from anyone else. He has to grow his own food. Now, look with me at verse 21. Then Noah drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. All right. So Noah was testing the wine of his vineyard and managed to get himself drunk. Now, being drunk is shameful in Scripture. In fact, it's a sinful act. And as we get into what happened here, we can suggest that Noah was completely innocent and this was all by accident. But the Bible does not attest to that. This was a shameful act that Noah did in not being sober enough in his mind to be the focused leader in the family, and even to prevent this from happening. Now, back to Noah. He's in his own room, he's in his own tent, and he's not just asleep, but he is out cold. He's in a full state of intoxication. In the process, for whatever reason, His clothing is not covering him. He's naked to an extent, or at least some of his, maybe below the belt, is naked. Now, for whatever reason, Noah's son Ham has entered into Noah's tent, and he sees what is exposed. Now, we don't know what the extent of this was, but it seems from the text, and we'll get to the rest of that in just a moment, but it seems that he didn't just notice and turn away to help and cover up and care for his father. Now, the key word here is in verse 22. It says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." Now, in the Hebrew, the word used here for saw means to see, but it also means to look closely at, to give attention to even gaze at. Now, this is all the text tells us. And there are some today that suggest several things. You may have heard some ideas about this text. Now, there are some that suggest that this means that Ham actually came in and slept with Noah's wife. Now, others suggest that Ham did something maybe to molest his father in some way. And there are many more conjectures. Now, these are the two big ones that you will hear people talk about when you read up on this text in different places. However, when I look at this text, I don't see any of that. I see no connection whatsoever to those ideas. It says nothing like that, even here in the original language. These are far-fetched ideas that stretch the imagination more than letting the text define what is going on. And let me just say that from a side note. That is something that we see more and more happening today. People taking an idea of what the Bible has to say and running with it to make it into something so much more. And I'm not just talking about Hollywood. Hollywood's really good at taking like a sentence or a paragraph and turning it into a 3-hour movie, okay? But I mean just people online, people in the world today who want to maybe make a name for themselves or who want people to look at the Bible differently, they are false teachers. And so they take a piece of scripture and they make it into something that could be something extravagant, something miraculous, or something that's just unbelievable. But that's not what the text says. And we need to be so very careful of that. We need to be mindful that we are not interpreting the scripture in a way that it was not meant to be interpreted. We need to be careful that we're not putting words into God's mouth. He gave us the scripture as it says for a reason. We need to abide by it. We need to study it and know it. And we need to teach and preach only the truth of the scripture. All right, look with me at verse 24. "So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him." Now, this verse is part of what gets people stuck on things. Any common reading of literature today, be it fact or fiction, in the English language, if it says that someone woke up and they knew what had happened, we would assume that there was some kind of evidence pointing directly to something or someone. Because otherwise, how would you just know? But that is not what the text is saying. And again, if we just went off with a cursory reading and considered only what it says up front, we might be making some of these same suggestions that others do. However, the Bible did not originate in the English language. And we have the ability to go back and study the original language to look deeper and decipher the truth. Now, the key word in verse 24 is new. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word that they used here for the word new means to know, but it also means to learn to know. to find out and discern and to consider. Now, what I believe from looking at the original language is that Noah wakes up and he realizes that he's covered with a blanket or a garment of some kind that is not his. It's not something that is from his tent where he would have been covered up in the first place. So now he's scratching his head like, what's going on? And already I think he's kind of waking up groggy since he went to sleep because he was completely intoxicated. So I imagine him getting up slowly, kind of stuporing out of his tent. And then after a little bit of time, he asks Shem or Japheth about it, where they inform him of what happened. Now, here's the big reason that so many people have distorted opinions on this event. Look with me, starting in verse 25. Then Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." Now Ham is cursed because of this event. So the assumption is that something more must have happened, not just him walking in and seeing his father naked, because that's not a big deal today. But here's the difference. This was a major issue in this day. Now you fast forward into the New Testament, and you have both the Greeks and the Romans who praise the human body and make it a normal thing to see nudity, even in the family unit. But this was not so earlier on, especially for those who followed God. And by the way, when the Greeks and the Romans were praising the body, the Christians were saying, no, we should not do that. We should stay as far away from that as possible. But this was the world, the standards of the world saying it's okay to look at the body, it's okay for it to be naked, it's okay to be enjoyed at every step. Now, throughout the Bible, nakedness is connected to immodesty. And the uncovering of the nakedness is a reference to sexual immorality. In Scripture, being naked is only reserved for yourself behind closed doors or between a husband and wife in private. All other displays of the body are considered shameful and a sin. Now think about what an incredible difference that is between what the Bible teaches and what the world teaches and displays today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 13 says, "All things are lawful for me." And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. "But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but it is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Now what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this sequence is he's addressing the fact that technically we have free will as Christians. We can make whatever choices we want. We can do whatever it is that we want to do. However, make note that the body is not, as you're making choices, it is not there for sexual immorality. It is for the Lord. And the Lord is for your body. It is not meant for you to desecrate with things outside of God's design. We need to be careful with what choices that we make with the things that God gives us, not just the things that we can hold, but also our body. Now, this passage in 1 Corinthians goes on to address that our bodies are the place where the Holy Spirit resides. Therefore, when we sin with our bodies in an immodest or sexual way, we are committing a sin against our own bodies, which we should not. We should want to glorify God with our bodies. All right, back to Genesis chapter 9. Notice that the Lord is identified as the God of Shem. Now that tells us right away that Shem is the godly one in the family. Now remember, it is Noah that is praised for his righteousness, not his wife or his sons or even his sons' wives, but Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." Now, God saved Noah and his family because real godly men lead their families in godliness. In fact, in many cases in the Bible, we see that when the husband or father turns to Christ, the whole family follows, because it was the husband or the father's responsibility to teach and train the rest of the family. And if these men were God-centered, then they would have God-centered homes. However, this was not an absolute. Each person in that family had a choice who they would serve and who they would follow, either themselves or God. And we see that Shem chose to follow God, and Ham is living in the old sins that he has likely embraced before within the corruption of the world. Now, Ham sees his father. He lingers. And then he goes and tells his brothers about it. Now, I don't believe this is him informing them. I believe that Ham is likely snickering here and is thinking like a junior higher. Maybe he's bragging in some way, expecting that his brothers would join in with him, but they did not. And I believe they didn't do this because of the respect they showed to go backwards, even, not even to look, a little, to make sure that their father's nakedness was covered. Now, Ham could have turned away and he could have made everything decent, but instead he followed his natural temptation. Now, the text identifies that nudity was a big deal, especially seeing your parents, because how did Shem and Japheth respond? They didn't just walk in and throw a blanket over him. No, they put a blanket of some kind between them and they walk backwards into the tent, laying it over their father, guaranteeing that they would not make the same mistake as their brother Ham, and still maintaining their father's respect and honor. Now, you might be asking yourself today, why is this text even important? Because this was the reboot. Mankind was to be remade through those who knew what sin was up front and to work on. Instead, being holy and committed to God, and within a short amount of time, likely 3 to 5 years, we're already seeing corruption. Now, if we take a close look at the events that happened between Adam and Eve and now Noah, we do see some similarities. For instance, Adam's profession was to tend the garden. Noah's profession was to be a farmer. Both of them tended to the land. God specifically cursed Adam and Eve for their sin. Noah specifically cursed Ham for his sin. We see some other similarities here. God blessed Adam and Eve and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, God did the same thing for Noah. Noah also blessed Shem and Japheth. Now, Adam and Eve hid from God when they realized that they were naked. the idea was shameful to them. And then Noah experienced the shame of nakedness. And Ham, who saw that nakedness. Adam and Eve's sin was a result of family strife. Noah's sin that led to strife between his sons and his youngest being put into slavery or servitude. Eve saw the fruit of the tree. Ham saw his father's nakedness. And by the way, this saw is the same word in the original language. Now there's more. There are so many behind-the-scene connections here that we are seeing the reboot of the original story in a way. And what I see loud and clear here is what the Lord said in his heart while he made a covenant with Noah and his family. He said in Genesis chapter 8:21, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Now, Noah had a choice. His choice led him to be drunk, to be out of his senses. Now, just to give you a little clarity, we're going to get into this more in the future, but Noah didn't just have one glass of wine, okay? He drank a lot. He had an excessive amount, and the consequence of Noah's choice caused him to be naked, to be immodest. Now, Ham had a choice to change, to be more godly, or to fall back on those things that he was most used to, what he learned from an ungodly culture. And he chose to dishonor his father, to indulge in his own sinful desires. His consequence affected not just him, but the nation that would come from his line. Now, we have choices today. To honor God by living our lives in a manner that would please him, by obeying his word, or by living like the rest of our culture around us. Now let's close with this last thought. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 through 10. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Now what is in our heart? What is stored in our mind will affect how we think, how we act, and what we do. Glorifying the Lord or bringing sin and shame into our lives. Now, the continued existence of sin identifies that even in the reboot of the earth, there is still needed a great Savior to help mankind, to save them from their sins. Now, Noah and the future generation desperately need, the saving grace of Jesus Christ through God, just as much as Adam and Eve did. Now, sin is still prevalent today, but you have the choice to set aside your sin and to instead trust in Jesus Christ. Take him as your Savior and make him your number one. Follow his way, and he will help you to conquer your sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your tremendous goodness and love and care and mercy. Lord, as we've looked at the events that have happened with Adam and Eve, we see the truth of what you have done for mankind and all that you have allowed us to have and to do. And we love you, Lord, because you have given us the ability to have a body and to have consciousness and be able to make choices in life. We love you for all the things that you provided for us and provided this great earth that we can explore and have adventures in. And you provided relationships with each other. And Lord, there's just so much goodness you have provided. And yet, Lord, we still have to face today the fact that we have temptation and the choice to sin. And that within this goodness, we have the choice to turn around and turn away and look at sin instead. And all this goodness can be marred by the sin-cursed stain of what the devil has brought in. Now, Lord, help us today to see real world choices. Help us to make good and godly choices, things that would be desirable to you, things that would honor you. Lord, as we look at the life of Noah now and his family, we see that even in the reboot, there's still sin. And moving forward, there is still sin, even to us today, in our culture today, where we are surrounded by sin. Help us to be lights into this world, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take our lives seriously and not just try to get away with sin wherever we can, but instead to reject the sin in our lives, to reject the sin that is around us, and to instead trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us today, reveal in our hearts, in our minds, what sin is there, what things are buried that are troublesome, things that maybe are a red flag in our lives that we should consider deeply getting rid of. I pray, Lord, that you would bring that up, bring that to our hearts, bring that to our minds, bring that to our imaginations to help us engage in the fight, to uproot those things, those sins, to get rid of them, and to continue moving forward in a manner that would glorify you. Lord, help us to be serious about our sin today and help us to make good choices for your glory moving forward. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.